Blog Talk Radio.
There is no earthly way of knowing.
Good man is on fire.
Which direction we are going?
Directly El Camino. It would have been DWI.
Reached a tipping point.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome as always to Tipping Point. We have a great show online for you tonight. My name is Stephen Platinum. I am joined by Miss Rachel and Larry Goodman, lovely and venerable, respectively. Guys, how are you doing tonight?
After that, pretty good.
Yeah. I think lovely.
Well, big weekend in Georgia wrestling. Our guest, by the way, is going to be Chris Lash, who's going to have a lot to say about the Tennessee scene, OVW, and God knows what else. But a big weekend, Southern Fried had a show headlined by AJ Steele against Tommy Pennarelli. And Tommy Pennarelli picks up the win, albeit a tainted win, I believe, via a turn by Logan Creed, who also picked up the tag titles with Brooklyn Page in his corner. What do we think about that? Tommy Pennarelli headlining a Southern Fried show and getting the Duke. Obviously, they must be setting up, Larry. Don't you feel like they must be setting up for the return of the Florida contingent of Chiazzo, Mike Cruz, Simon Says, and company?
Yeah, well, in the tape I saw, Shane Marks was involved.
So oh, no, not my Shane Marks.
What is up with that? Yeah, Shane Marks and DeWitt Dawson were involved in this scenario as well. So
I was actually there for the last match and half of the match before that. So I actually saw a lot of that unfold. They actually set up for their next show AJ and Bordell Walker against Jagged and Shane Marks.
The return of the Blacklist, or at least part of the Blacklist.
Right.
So that's definitely exciting. Rachel, since you were there, do you get the sense, obviously the crowds are down, which is something I kind of wanted to talk about later on in the show, is how a lot of crowds seem to be down all around the state. It's the summertime blues, as they say in Georgia wrestling right now. But, you know, something that Southern Fried has always done is they've always generated a great deal of excitement in the main event. Was that the case on Saturday?
I think so. And the match before was Moose and Jacob Ashworth, so they definitely had the crowd going when I'd gotten there, and Tommy came out and talked about all of the Florida guys and said he was there to take care of business for them. So they were not happy with Tommy picking up the win between having the Florida guys involved and Logan and Shane Marks also being distractions, I'll say, in that match.
Yeah, and one of the other big stories, of course, one of the other big shows on Saturday was Peach State. Larry, you were there for Peach State. I have a couple of questions. One, of course, your overall impressions of the show. And two, what compelled you to go out to Peach State?
It was a choice between that and going to Monroe. And I frankly didn't want to do a 3.5-hour show. But as it turns out, that's not what happened in Monroe. The running time of that show was just a little over 2.5 hours. So I would not have been subjected to that. Really, there was not much else to it other than that, because as you could see from the lineup, it wasn't anything special of a lineup that Peach State was offering. So in that sense, I might have been better off in Monroe. So it was, yeah, I mean, it was a mildly interesting show. Obviously, they didn't do anything earth-shattering at this show, and they set up Mike Posey as Jimmy Rave's first challenger by winning a somewhat lackluster bunkhouse battle royal. So, I mean, and I certainly don't see Posey being the one to take the belt off Rave. The highlight was definitely Rick Michaels and Iceberg over the Chosen Two for the tag titles. That was very entertaining. Very well done.
Oh, that's great. A lot of title changes going on at Peach State lately. They've bounced around their main title more than a few times. And then I believe, is it Fry Daddy who has their secondary title?
Yeah, all babyface champions at this point.
All babyface champions. They kind of have the office, you know, like Southern Fried has definitely kind of brought in the heels in a big way. And that's going to serve them in the future. Peach State now kind of scrambling to make some, but hopefully Posey can give a good challenge to Rave and they can kind of go from there. Do you get the sense that they're looking for something to replace the Exotic Ones storyline at Peach State?
Well, the main impression I get is they need, where is the heat going to come from? The heels have been dramatically cooled off there, demonstrably cooled off. So, well, now I will say Tommy Too Much still had a lot of heat, and Al Getz still had heat. But with the heels taking the losses and apparently Tyson Dean turning, Dusty McWilliams not being there, I'm looking for what that next source of heat is going to be.
I'm curious, you know, because they have some great guys there. Romeo's a guy that I absolutely adore, and I think they got a chance to go a different direction with him, especially if he's not going to have that same manager. I think maybe letting Romeo get some heat and letting Romeo, instead of being a comedy guy, I think they can really do something with that guy. I just think a lot of him. So
yeah, I'm not sure. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
No, please go.
I just wasn't sure if Romeo is going to be back as a regular. He was there in that bunkhouse battle royal. And it, you know, there was a time when he did have a fair amount of heat when he was doing the French anthem and all that, but yeah, he's been cooled off as well. So, it will be very interesting to see what Booker Rick Michaels does with the situation at hand at this point.
But of course, the show that Larry should have been at, he should have been in Porterdale, Georgia, but then you never know. How could you have known all that was going to go down in true PCW style? A crazy, crazy finish to the show. Rachel, do you want to walk us through? Well, the big story is Shane Marks is no longer the PCW champion. Can you walk us through what happened, Rachel?
Plenty of times about Carpenter. He's like under everybody's skin, or kind of, I feel like, pulling the strings with a couple people. He was the head of one of the War Games teams and managed to get Shane to really offer a title match. And it was anything goes, Porterdale Street Fight. I mean, you name it, that stipulation was on there. And he gets out and says, since it was anything goes, he was having somebody else represent him in the match, and it ended up being Jonathan Williams of the Washington Bullets. It's my first inclination was, you know, Carpenter's got something on him, or he's, you know, like they're in some kind of trouble. But then in the end of it, Trey jumps in the match. I mean, the Bullets and Shane have been good friends for the last year or two. I don't know what came over them to decide that they needed to cheat to win these titles. It was very frustrating. Matt Hankins was attacked at the end. He was just trying to figure out what was going on. Shane was assaulted with both the new and the old PCW bell. And the end of it was just so out of control. And that's just, I think Carpenter has that effect on people. But
The long and short of it is the Washington Bullets are together the PCW champion, and we had a fan thrown out of Porterdale for the first time ever. The crowd was livid, just livid, and shouting all kinds of stuff at the Bullets, and people were getting thrown out of the show, and it was absolute pandemonium. The long and short of it is the Bullets' first title defense as the solo PCW champion will be against Johnny Danger. Of course, Johnny Danger and Carpenter are a long-standing feud, so we'll have to see how all of that shakes out. A crazy Saturday, obviously. Larry, where are you going to be next Saturday? Where are you going to be this Saturday?
Most likely I will be at Anarchy this Saturday. I've been gone from there for a while, and that's the plan. Although I understand that NWA Atlanta has one of their bigger shows coming up, so that's still a possibility. So one of those two places.
Cool. Well, you know, I'm going to be this Friday, I'm going to go to Shine in Ybor City, which is right next to Tampa. So I'm excited to go there. Maybe I'll try to snag a guest. For next week, I had an idea. I just wanted to run past both of you guys live on the air. I'm in the middle of writing a full disclosure about who the leaders are in the various award categories. We're about, you know, two-thirds through the year, and I thought it would be a good time to look at who the front runners were. So, you know, a couple of them are obvious. I think Jimmy Rave right now is leading by a wide margin for Wrestler of the Year, certainly. I think Tyson Dean is there for Most Improved, though you could say Carpenter is kind of a dark horse for that as well. So I just wanted to go over those categories and get your guys' thoughts on that. But Larry, I know he's probably not online yet, but can you give us a little background on Chris Lash? We've had him on the show before, so why is he going to come on tonight?
So we touched on this last week when Scott Hensley was on the show, and he was a marvelous guest, by the way. I really enjoyed the interview with Scott. He touched on the fact that Chris Lash had been in Florida and involved in vintage pro wrestling. He had been involved in other promotions prior to that, but that's where he was before coming to Knoxville and joining forces with Troy Lowe to run Great American Wrestling after David Marquez had exited the scene, or as David Marquez says, he really wasn't exited, but they took his TV slot, so he exited. And he's been the promoter there. He's also involved in the radio business, but he is now launching a new promotion, and that's, I think, largely what he's going to talk about tonight, is how that came about and how that came about in the face of what was going on with Great American. It should be interesting.
Yes. Chris Lash, one of those guys who's a mover and a shaker. A couple other Georgia indie news items before we get Chris Lash on here. One of them is Southern Fried joining AIWF. It's definitely a big story. And then Anarchy announcing, is it Hostile Environment, I believe, is going to be August 22nd, headlined by a War Games match. So that's a number of the big things. For PCW, we announced when Sacred Ground was going to be. That's going to be September 26th at the Seven Stages Theater in Atlanta, Georgia. First time Sacred Ground's actually been in Atlanta proper, and all a part of the revival of the Brawl show with Dad's Garage during that week. I'm going to be there the whole week running workshops for the improvisers to get them ready for Brawl. And then we're running Brawl twice a night on Thursday and Friday, doing Sacred Ground, and then the finale of Brawl on Saturday. So I'm going to be tired, but it ought to be a lot of fun that week of September. So is Chris Lash ready to go, Larry?
Let's see here. He is not ready to go. I do not see him in the queue as of yet.
I blame David Marquez. I mean, Larry, can you answer a question about David Marquez? Because that's a name that comes up a lot. It comes up in Florida. It comes up in Tennessee. Obviously, he's a guy out there in California. He books, he's booked De La Vega out there at Hollywood. So what's the deal with Marquez? Like, why is he everywhere?
Well, he had this idea of starting up like an NWA-style affiliate group and doing where everyone had television, and they would sell ads across these television programs. And Matt Riviera was going to be a partner in that. And with his TCW show, he bailed out. But that was the idea. So he was helping out with Portland. He decided he wanted to come into Knoxville. Of course, he had Hollywood. He had associate promotions in other places. And that's where he sort of got spread out so much into so many places, was with that vision. I don't think anything has really come to pass with United. United Pro, I think.
Gotcha.
It's called.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, and Vintage, who's a promotion that's very closely associated with Simon Says and Chiazzo and those guys. I don't know exactly what the relationship is. I believe Simon Says booked them. But I've actually done a Vintage show or two before, but, for a while they had television here in Florida on Saturday mornings at 11 on the Bright House. So I'm not sure what happened to that as well. I'll be curious. That'll probably be my lead question in with Chris Lash. So can't wait to talk to him.
hey, have you guys donated money to Virgil?
Oh my gosh. Oh, Larry, let me explain to Rachel about Virgil. Rachel, how familiar are you with Virgil?
I'm not familiar yet, but I'm super excited to become familiar right now.
Oh boy. So there was Ted DiBiase, who was a wrestler of some great note in the sort of Hulkamania era, was a character called the Million Dollar Man. So the premise was he was a multimillionaire that was going to come in and basically buy the title. Great gimmick, sort of seen as Vince McMahon's dark side, sort of manifest in a wrestling gimmick. And he had a manservant, a black manservant named Virgil. So Virgil never really was a wrestler of note on the big time. He hung around a little while and, you know, eventually broke from the Million Dollar Man, but he never made it big. Virgil was probably most famous in recent years for showing up to autograph signings and wrestling conventions and nobody wanting his autograph. There's like all these, there's all of these memes and sort of like the early days of memes and all of that stuff. My favorite was there was a picture of Virgil sitting by himself and there's a sign behind him that says wrestling superstar Virgil. And when you would click on the picture, it would play all by myself. So he was sort of the butt of jokes as the epitome of the old school guy who nobody cared about. But recently, apparently, he has started a Kickstarter to give himself $1 million. Like, the only reason you're going to give him money is so he can be a millionaire and live up to the Million Dollar Man moniker of Ted DiBiase. You don't get anything. Like, if you donate 10, you get nothing. If you donate 100, you get nothing. But Virgil's just hoping people will just give him $1 million.
he's up to $135 as of now. And if you go to gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com and you want to have some laughs, read some of these comments. The last one is from a guy named Bill Sesavachi. He says, "My kid is having a birthday party. I think there is room at the end of the driveway for your table." The next guy says, "I'm Virgil's manager at Arby's. And I'm very upset. He's using company time to beg people for money."
Oh, no, Virgil. I mean, I think which story, here's a quick debate. Which story is sadder? Virgil starts a Kickstarter to get himself $1 million, or Sonny, the first real diva of wrestling, signs a contract with Vivid to do porn videos? Which one's sadder, Rachel? Virgil or Sonny? The porn sadder. Larry, Virgil or the porn?
The porn sadder, but she comes up in the Virgil comments as well. A guy writes, "Maybe you and Sonny should do it porn together. You can call it Broke Ass Mountain."
if the WWE creative had half of the hilarity of these comments, they would be okay. Is Chris Lesh available now, Larry?
He is joining us at the moment to save us from this Virgil nonsense.
Gentlemen, I could do an entire show on Mike Jones, Virgil himself, if you wanted to do that some other time.
How are you, Mr. Lash? This is Stephen Platinum. Can you hit us with one quick Virgil / Mike Jones story? Do you have a nice one available?
I can tell you, I brought him in, one time. He was part of the NWO and WCW, and brought him in one time. He walked into the room, and before he said anything else, he walked up to me and he said, "I ain't bumping in that ring." And I said, "What are you talking about, Mike?" He said, "I ain't bumping in that ring." And I go, "You hadn't even been in the ring yet." I mean, all he ever wanted to do from start to finish of any show that I ever booked him on was set up and sell gimmicks. That's it. Period.
Did you get him to bump in the ring?
I think he bumped maybe one time in the ring, but that was about it. Anytime I ever booked him, he wouldn't do anything but set up a gimmick table. He'd stay at the table the entire time. When it was time for him to go and work the match, he walked from his gimmick table into the ring. When he was done, walked out of the ring, back to the gimmick table. Yep.
So, having experienced that, which one's sadder, Virgil or the porn?
Oh, boy. I don't know. You know, she still looks good. I just don't understand why, you know, Sonny can't, you know, get things straight and narrow and she'd be booked constantly. I just don't understand it. Yeah.
I agree. I think she just needs the right person to sort of head up her career and guide it. Maybe something for Dan Masters.
I have a funny story that I'll share with you guys some other time.
Please. Oh, darn it. Darn it.
No.
Larry, did you have a question for Mr. Lash? We had a bunch of things.
We got a bunch of stuff to talk about, but I think a good starting point would be what's going on now with you and starting up Throwback Championship Wrestling, and how did that come out of Great American? Could you bring us up to speed?
Well, let's go back. You know, the last time that we talked, you know, we had the whole situation with Brian Logan and the footage back in January, and Jim Cornette and Danny Davis step in and just were tremendous, tremendous help to me. And we would have never had any kind of TV show here whatsoever involving, you know, Shane Williams and the OVW people. And it was, you know, very, very easy to put together with Danny and Jim, and ran that and sold some great advertising in the show and got some really good ratings. One time we even popped a 4.1 on Fox 43 in Knoxville, but it averaged, you know, in the ones and the 1.5s and even as high as 2.5, but it went very, very well. And I want to thank, you know, Jim and Danny for everything that they did to help me, because if it wasn't for them, you know, I would have never been able to get anything off the ground. So let's fast forward a couple of months, and one day I'm online and doing some Facebook updates, and I read this thing that my so-called partner at the time, Troy Lowe, is starting another promotion called, Thunder Road Wrestling. And he's going to do this at a local Knoxville Harley store. And I questioned him on that, and he denied everything and said that, you know, the Harley dealership wanted to do one show and he was just going to help them and didn't see anything wrong with that, blah, 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 blah. And it just was that kind of stuff just all the time. I kind of put a kibosh to that and kind of got him back into the fold, or so I thought. And, you know, we went along our merry way with OVW, and Shane and I would make the weekly trips to Louisville and do the show. And Jim Cornette and I, you know, did the wraparounds and hosted the show, and it looked really good. It looked better than anything that was going to be produced here in Knoxville. So we fast forward now to May 8th. You know, at this point, Troy Lowe really isn't real active in what we're doing. Basically, he just wants to be the writer. He wants to be the booker, and that was kibosh. And I got to step in here, guys, and say that when I took the blame for the long TV taping back in January, that was a show that Troy Lowe wrote. and that's why it took so long. And yes, Dr. Tom Pritchard had to step in and rewrite this thing and reset things up, but the reason that it was long was because Troy Lowe wrote it, and me being a nice guy, let him do that. But we go to May 8th now, and he's not a part of writing. It's an OVW show. We're going to record it and use it for television. It's a house show. It's everything we've been running on TV with the OVW storylines, and we go into this building. And that particular day, I had rented a ring and had no help in loading that ring except for Troy, which lasted maybe 15 minutes. So there I am trying to load a wrestling ring by myself into a truck. Now, I suffer from some major ailments, including one that's very, very rare. It was like 95 degrees that day. And by the time Shane Williams and his wife stepped in and helped me get that ring loaded, I pretty much was done. Larry, you can testify that when you showed up that night, I could barely lift my head to even say hello to you and didn't say much other than that. I had gone down five different times. Yeah, I didn't look good. I had gone down five times that day, that afternoon, into the show and throughout the show, where I literally was outside throwing up. I was that sick. Something was wrong. One of the referees happened to be an EMT and was great to me and kind of kept me upright at several different times. I never saw one single match. I saw absolutely nothing of that show. And before the end of the evening was over, I was rushed by ambulance to the hospital to find out that part of one of the diseases I have caused my pancreas to shut down. So there I am now in the hospital and spent, you know, almost 3 days in the hospital of them trying to, you know, run the tests and figure out what was wrong. And, you know, none of it was good. Well, during that time in the hospital, Troy, a very good friend of mine, and then Dr. Tom Pritchard was there, and Tom was great and was with me three or four different times, genuinely concerned. And they just kept saying the same thing, and so did Cornette, and so did Danny Davis, and that is Chris. Your health is more important than wrestling and this, and you should quit. And Tom Pritchard even videotaped me with him questioning me, saying that I would quit, that I would give this up, that I wouldn't run any more live shows. And Troy saying to me, Chris, we don't want you to die. You know, you need to give this up. You need to quit, and so on and so forth. And on the video, I said I'd quit. So I came out of the hospital, and I'm now, you know, recovering from this, and it took a couple of weeks before I got back to normal. What I didn't know was that while this was going on, Troy Lowe was plotting to continue Great American Wrestling. He had never put a penny, not a dime into this. All this was my money, financing the entire project, whether it was the trips to Louisville, or it was house shows, or it was television production, or whatever. I paid the freight on this project the entire time. And while he's telling me he loves me and doesn't want me to die, and that we're going to write a book together, and that's what we should do instead of having Great American Wrestling, he's plotting behind my back to take Great American Wrestling and run it the way that he wants to. So I get sucked into this work, totally believing that he's, you know, in my corner now completely, because here I've been sick and we're going to write this book about the territories together. Hell, I even wrote two chapters. And then one night he says to me, could you put me back on as the administrator of the Facebook page? And then we can promote our book using the 1700 to 1800 people that have liked Great American Wrestling. So I finally agree to do this. And what happens within 48 hours? He relaunches Great American Wrestling. He takes me out. He's already had the TV contract re-signed by himself. And he began this process from the day I was in the hospital, that Saturday after the show. So he launched this whole thing a couple of weeks later. Larry, I think you know me well enough that I'm going to say, fuck you at that point. I don't care about my health. I didn't really want to quit to begin with. But I was listening to who I thought were my friends. I'm going to go and relaunch. So it's one thing, guys, to go and inherit a television show from Dave Marquez and take that show and run with it. It's another thing to go and get another wrestling show on TV, and that's exactly what I did in a period of 48 hours. I launched Throwback, which was a longtime name of mine anyway. Got a new TV deal on the Knox, one of the TV stations, the sister to CW20 here in Knoxville, and had a full roster together, including a building to shoot in 48 hours after Troy Lowe lied to me, worked me, like everybody apparently seems to want to do in Knoxville, whether you're a worker, whether you're a cameraman, whether you're a lighting person, whether you're a nobody like Troy Lowe. That's what continuously goes on in this market. I blame it on Terry Landell. I have to. Sorry, Terry, because since the time that Cornette left town, this is what's been happening continuously here, and no one's ever going to get anything off the ground unless it's done right or done properly, and we all stop working each other and sticking it up our asses. And that's exactly what happened. So it's a pride thing with me. I will outspend him. I will outbeat him. I will outdo him any time of the day or night. There you have the story up to that point.
Chris, I have a question at this point. Now, I've been in part of wrestling like in the Southwest and now in the Southeast, and there's so much drama in Knoxville. It seems like it's doubly the case. I have a question. Besides being stubborn, why try to fight the tide? It seems like it's almost an impossibility to get a thing going there under any circumstances because of all the backfighting and all of that stuff. Why try at this point?
I agree with you in what you're saying with the backfighting and so on. And again, I don't know if that part of it's going to ever end. But I will just say this, that I believe that if I just do this myself, where there's nobody else involved, I believe that I can cut through this and get a much better product than I've ever put out there so far since January, since Dave Marquez, since I even came to Knoxville. I believe that I can do it. Number two, because I'm in the radio business, which is very competitive, I am a really competitive person. And I do better. I think better. I act better. I react better. I spend my money better when I have someone who I think I'm competing against. And I got to tell you right now, I think I'm competing against him head to head, and I am going for it. And I have destroyed him in 2 weeks. It's a joke. Go look at the Facebook pages. The website gets launched tonight. Look at the roster that I've put together of the talent and the people and who we're bringing in compared to what he's doing. It's a joke. I am better, guys, when I feel that I am competing against somebody. Go to Orlando, go to Pennsylvania, put out some feelers and ask people if Lash is better when he's competing. I am.
To kind of play the devil's advocate here, what about the show after you crush him? How are you planning on keeping that up, especially with your health issues?
Well, I mean,
do you plan on bringing someone in, or is it just once you've won, you've won?
Well, again, I also believe that you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, but that I have to be careful in who I surround myself with. You know, surrounding myself with Danny Davis and Jim Cornette and Dr. Tom Pritchard was always a great thing. These guys have tremendous knowledge. They're good guys. They've been up and up, and it's been tremendous. I'm not doing anything with them, you know, at this point. And as we know, you know, Danny sold 51% to Dean at OVW, and, you know, he's doing the things that he has to do with his family and that he wants to do. But I'm not saying that I won't bring somebody in, you know, at some point to help me, but I got to be extremely careful who that is and how I do it. The other side of it is that I think that Knoxville just really wants a great product, you know, on TV. And I think that we did that to a certain extent with OVW, but again, it was what it was. It wasn't truly local. I think that with the production people that I have now that I can do, you know, the better TV product, and hopefully it can stand through and cut through all the crap that continues to be up here. Did I answer that, Rachel? Did I answer it right?
You did. That's what I was curious about.
Now, Chris, when I look at your roster, some impressive folks on there. I see Eric Young, EC3, Gunner, Teddy Long. You're going to be spending some money to bring these guys in. Magnus.
Well, the neat thing is, Larry, is that the other promotion that I'm piggybacking with has their own facility, which is, you know, kind of as small as the Memphis TV 5 studio was, maybe even a little bit smaller. So we're going to kind of create that intimate atmosphere when we shoot this thing. And don't get me wrong, we've got to do some things there, and some things I have concerned about is to properly shoot this so that it doesn't look too small. He's able to put 150 people in there. They consistently sell out. That is Eastern Tennessee Wrestling, ETW, and Justin and his crew have just been great. So from the physical aspect, I don't have to rent a building. I don't have to rent a ring. I don't have to do anything like that. All I have to do is pay for talent and production. So in a roundabout way, Larry, I'm actually saving some money because I had to rent buildings, I had to rent rings, and so on. So the way that we structured our arrangement, I don't have to do that, and it's been great. So I can just focus on the talent, you know, itself. And we've been able to get some really good local talent with the Tate Twins. Shane Williams came on board today. He'll be here in October. Devin Driscoll is a part of this and has just been great and just a huge help. And he's a part of it. So we have some great local talent to focus on, as well as just some top-notch people like the guys coming in from TNA. Rob Conway I booked last night. And we've got some surprises that are going to be coming up that I can't tell you about, but I can focus my money just on the quality of talent and the quality of the production, and I think we can do a better job.
Chris,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chris, last week our guest was Scott Hensley, and I said, you know, if there's a question you could ask Chris Lash, what would it be? And here's this question. I think it's a really good one. What do you love about the wrestling business? Like, what is the thing that really gets you wanting to be a part of this in spite of the downfalls, in spite of the drama, in spite of all that stuff? What do you love about pro wrestling?
Entertainment, and that is why I continue to own radio stations, and that is why I continue to do wrestling. I like to entertain people. I like to see that reaction. I like to hear them, thrive off the guys who are trying to get heat or cheer for the baby faces. You know, for the longest time, for 15 years, I went out on my own and bought radio stations because I knew it's a young person's business, and that if I didn't own stations myself, I wouldn't be in the radio business anymore. So I've been behind the scenes, not behind the microphone, driving these different radio stations all over the country that I have, because I continue to like to entertain and inform people, and that's how I feel about wrestling. I was never a performer in the ring. Can I get on the stick and work the mic? Absolutely. But that was never why I did it. I love to entertain people and be that guy behind the scenes that, whatever you want to call it, the puppet master or whatever, and watch people react to it. So it continues to drive me. I just had this conversation with a couple of local workers up here, you know, a week ago at an ETW show, and they said that's the reason they continue to do it.
Chris, you touched on OVW and the sale of OVW, or at least the majority of the company, to Dean Hill.
Yes.
What can you tell us about the sale of the company? Do you have any information on that? Were you involved in any way?
Sure. If you heard the promo on television where Danny mentioned that he had three people that
yes.
he had been talking to, and one of them was a woman, we can assume who that is. I was one of the three. And I feared that Danny was going to shut down. And he had been, you know, talking that way and certainly brought it to light and even brought it into the television show. I saluted him one day. I wrote him and said, you know, great way to make it a storyline. So we were talking, and I did make an offer and thought we may have a deal, but we ended up, even before that night was over, didn't have a deal. Well, then, you know, it's an embarrassing thing, guys, to get sick at your house show with Danny and Tom and Jim Cornette there. And there I am laying outside on the grass throwing up when I had just made an offer to buy OVW. I mean, I was embarrassed, and they certainly were concerned about my health. And you know, my wife's a traveling physical therapist. She's right now in Tullahoma, Tennessee, working, but she was in Florida at the time. So after I got out of the hospital, after about 2 or 3 days, I immediately was taken down to where she was in Florida, and I spent almost a month there. Well, during that time, when I said that I would quit, you know, I went to Danny and said, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this either. So he was great, but yeah, we were a part of it, and I'm thrilled that Dean ended up being the guy, because he's been there from the start. From the first original four guys that Danny Davis ever trained, which, you know, Rob Conway is one of those guys. I think Dean is perfect for OVW, and it's going to continue for a long, long time.
You were also going to be at one point involved in the Global Force show that took place in Knoxville at the ballpark. What happened with that situation? Was that due to your illness? What happened there?
No, Larry, you're good. You're really good at these questions tonight. Here's the way it was presented to me. The way it was presented to me up at OVW was that OVW talent, along with Jim Cornette and Shane Williams, because he was the local guy involved in our television show with Great American Wrestling, were going to be booked on that show. I was going to run the Global Force Wrestling commercials on both of my television shows at the time, and we're going to kind of wrap this all into one big happy bow. I had the TV commercials from Jeff sent to me. We built those in to shows, and then I wasn't hearing anything as to Shane getting booked and what else we needed to say on the TV show to kind of wrap this into a bow. And I finally wrote Jeff, you know, directly and said, this is what was told to me. And Jeff wrote back that day and said, I'm sorry there was miscommunication on any part from Global Force. We're sorry that happened. And I wrote back and I said, well, if Shane and Great American's not going to be put over, you know, on the show as it originally was presented to me, then, you know, I don't see any benefit to me or Great American. And I, you know, I'm not going to run the spot. News to say, I was in Florida at this time already, healing up, and some things had already been done at Fox 43. So some global stuff, you know, did run. So he got, you know, some extra spots out of it. But that's what happened. I don't know what to say other than this is what was presented to me, and it didn't happen.
Jumping back to Great America for just a second, two things about that. I noticed that Shane Williams worked the Great American taping, but you also said he's coming to work for you. Is he going to be working both sides of the street here on this?
The way I look at it is, you know, and you've got to talk about many trips that Shane and I had to Louisville and back, and we've talked an awful lot of wrestling and what we both believe in and what we don't believe in and what we like and what we don't like, and Shane's great. Great conversations. These guys are not under contract to anybody. They're independent workers.
Right.
What they're going to do over there, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be put over. Hell, he's online right now. Troy Lowe's on right now with a Southern-speaking Russian who's coming back to avenge a feud of 20 years ago when Great American Wrestling didn't even exist. I have no idea what they're going to do. I know what I'm going to do with my talent and with Shane, and I've said to him numerous times, you're independent workers. I have no problem with it. But I know I'm going to do something different, and in my mind, better with any talent that wants to come and be on the Throwback TV show. So, you know, Shane had other dates and had other bookings, and he indicated to me that October, you know, was a time that he could come in. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. And I'm thrilled. You know, I'm thrilled because, again, I know the way that Shane thinks. He's great in the ring. We have the same beliefs. And I'm thrilled to have him. And all I want to do is do a better job of showcasing my product and, of course, showcasing Shane or anybody else that would come to work for Throwback and be on the TV show.
Last question about Great American. How is it that Troy Lowe wound up with the Great American name and not you?
He has a friend in the comic book business who went at one point and trademarked all of the names that ran in Knoxville: Southeastern, Continental, and this idea of Great American Wrestling. He let that trademark expire when Troy and I did our deal. And understand something. When Troy reached out to me during the Dave Marquez days, and by the way, Dave and I are back talking again, and everything's fine, and I've apologized to him, because it's pretty obvious to me that I got worked like he got worked. You know, Dave put money in, I put money in. Troy didn't get what he wanted. Troy wanted to be the booker. And when he couldn't be the booker and do his bizarre comic book writing for wrestling, which doesn't fly, in my opinion, came to me and said, let's get rid of Dave. And now he's gotten rid of me. So when we did our deal, no matter what, I said, I like the concept, Troy, but I got to be 51%. He agreed that I'd be 51%, that I would be the driving force. And no, I didn't let him be the booker after one show. You've seen some of his comments that he's made about a veteran who said, who's Troy Lowe? That had to do about, you know, with Troy, it's about booking, about wrestling belts. That's what it is. Beyond that, nothing. So in doing that, we're driving global, or we're driving Great American Wrestling together. Larry, you're throwing too many feds at me tonight. We're driving Great American Wrestling together, and that trademark is expired. Well, when he got rid of me, they went back and, you know, got the trademark that had expired. So that's how they shut me out of that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But if you go do a U.S. trademark search, guys, Continental, Southeastern, Great American, and there's others, anything that ever ran Knoxville has been trademarked by this guy. So.
Interesting. I'll pass it on to others. When Tony Givens ran his big show, Big Smoky Mountain Show, where he brought in AJ Styles and John Morrison, You posted some negative comments about it afterwards, and I just didn't understand that. Could you explain what your thought process was in that?
I don't recall. I've never posted negative comments about Tony and what he does. I think he does an amazing job. I think he's great.
Okay.
Absolutely amazing. No, nothing was ever directed at Tony Givens. No, not at all. Tony has actually helped me on different occasions. I think Tony is a great promoter. I understand he has a book. I should read it. I think he does a great job. Absolutely nothing negative about Smoky Mountain at all.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Chris, you've been... Thank you for answering our myriad of questions. I think I personally have a much better sense of sort of Tennessee scene. If you want to give one last plug to your thing, what's the name? When's the TV show going to happen? When are the tapings going to happen before we send you off?
Our first tapings for Throwback Championship Wrestling they're all Saturdays, August 1st and 29th. On the first one, we, of course, have Crimson that's going to be there working Devin Driscoll that night. Tokyo Monster Cahagas is also coming in, along with a variety of others. The local guys include the Tate Twins, Devin Driscoll himself. On the 29th, coming in is Rob Conway, who's actually replacing Eric Young on that show. Eric got an XM Sirius gig that he wanted to take, so Eric's going to push back to our September show and be a part of that. Also coming in to be part of the television show with one of my sports radio talk show hosts, John Reed, is Teddy Long, the WWE legend and Hall of Famer, will be a part of that and will be coming in for multiple shows to be part of the television show. It all takes place, it's piggybacked with ETW and their building, which is called Bond City USA at 502 Bond Street in Lenoir City, Tennessee. And they do their show first. At intermission, we swap out sides, and then we go and do our four or five matches for the TV show. The TV show will air on the Knox. Now, do you want to think I'm competitive? Against Great American Wrestling at 12:30, beginning Saturday, September 5th. Head on, direct, head to head. Anytime, Troy, if you think you can beat me, go for it.
Woof. Well, Chris Lash, strong words from a tough man. Definitely going to keep our eye on what's happening in Tennessee. Best of luck with your promotion, and thank you for coming on Tipping Point again.
Hey, guys, thanks for the time. I really, really appreciate it again.
Excellent. Well, that was Chris Lash. Larry, you had a lot of questions. You had a lot of things you wanted to get answered. Are you satisfied with the answers that you got?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I know we've spent a lot of time talking about Knoxville wrestling on this show. The one guy there's other guys we haven't talked to, but one obviously pivotal figure we haven't spoken with is Troy Lowe. So I wondered what he would have to say about this. But yes, that was very interesting and informative.
I think you need to get Troy Lowe on here, Larry. I gotta know. I gotta hear the other side of all of this. There's something I wanted to talk about, and it has to do with WWE. I saw a thing recently where apparently, you know, it's been pretty apparent that NXT is kind of dipping into ROH's backyard. They're running a show on the same night in New York. They're bringing in Jushin Thunder Liger to work the NXT show, which, I mean, that can't be seen as a stab at anybody but Ring of Honor. Any number of things. It just seems like they're going directly after Ring of Honor's fan base. And something I read was, the theory was this, once they made NXT a touring brand, Ring of Honor suddenly became their number one competition to NXT, so they were going to treat it accordingly. Larry and Rachel, what are your thoughts on that? Is that the case? If NXT is a touring brand, can they legitimately say Ring of Honor is a threat and competition and go after them? Or does this reek of just sort of dirty business practices?
Larry, go ahead, because I've got probably more of a controversial look on it.
To me, it seems like business as usual for the WWE. I mean, to come into New York and run the same night as Ring of Honor at the Barclays Center when Ring of Honor is doing their ballpark show, I definitely think they're out to get them in that sense. And of course, they've got a lot more resources, superior production. I think this is trouble for Ring of Honor.
Rachel, what's your take?
I try and be optimistic in life. And one of the things that really bothers me is the spitefulness in wrestling, which may or may not have come across in my question earlier. I think that it will kill it. Not just Ring of Honor, however, I think that this is one of the big reasons that if wrestling goes away, this is how it starts. Saying this is competition, so I have to get rid of it, is really, really just the beginning of the end of it. There's nothing wrong with competition. There's nothing wrong with having more shows. Now, granted, I'm not talking about West Georgia, but if there's more product, then there's more people that can be reached, and then there's more people who will eventually see another product, like people that watch Ring of Honor may then start watching NXT, which might take them to the main roster, because NXT and the main roster are definitely different, especially in the women's circuit, where the women
yes.
on NXT can have these long matches, but then you get like a 5-minute match and it's the same thing every time on the TV. I really hate to hear that there is the little snipes at each other. I obviously would want a job at a higher level, but talking to you earlier this week, Steve, about the 20-year history of WWE and the ratings, I think this is one of the main causes. I think if WCW had somehow survived, maybe those ratings wouldn't have dipped.
Yeah, what Rachel's referring to, Larry, is I just as my own pet project, I recently went back and looked at the ratings using the Observer, using Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I looked at like ratings and buy rates for the last 20 years of pay-per-views, the Monday shows and all that stuff to sort of map trends. What worked, what didn't work, what had a short-term effect but in the long-term caused damage. And, you know, a lot of the things that they're trying to do now in WWE, which is to improve the work rate, you know, to have these matches that are like harder hitting and stuff, that stuff, believe it or not, had a short-term effect, but in the long term, they stopped doing it for any number of reasons. Guys getting hurt more frequently. The fact that it didn't really impact ratings over the long haul, that it's still a personality-driven business. And, you know, like I wrote to somebody, they need to find the next Stone Cold, not the next Lucha Dragons.
Yeah.
And you know, people are very excited about, like, Charlotte and Sasha Banks, as they should be, but at the same time, it's still about making money. And hopefully, I would hope that NXT would just realize Ring of Honor, if anything, benefits them greatly. And driving them out of business, or even, I mean, eventually people are going to turn on NXT. Right now, everybody's real excited about it, but things ebb and flow. And at some point, people are going to realize, man, they kind of wrecked Ring of Honor. And then where are they going to get their top stars? It's going to be an interesting thing to watch. It's definitely a time in wrestling that causes a lot of anxiety. You look at TNA, you wonder if they're going to be around. You wonder if they're going to team with Global Force. And at this point, something else that people forget is that WWE does not make money. That's always been everybody's party line is, well, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. But they've lost money in the past year at a clip that when WCW did it, people freaked out. But the WWE seems to have a better infrastructure. And the feeling is once the network shakes out, hopefully things will get better. I don't know. I do know that if what they're doing is trying to create this artificial feud with Ring of Honor to motivate themselves, I think they're fooling themselves. Their competition isn't Ring of Honor. Their competition is the explosion of entertainment options that have happened in the last 7 to 10 years. Their competition is the Game of Thrones and the Breaking Bads and all of that. Yeah. And in that competition, they themselves sorely lacking. Nobody doubts that WWE can knock out another wrestling promotion. But at this stage, isn't that like being valedictorian of summer school? There isn't a promotion that has the bankroll and the smarts to compete with them. And I don't know if taking the bully role with Ring of Honor is going to serve them in the long term. I guess we'll have to see. What do you think, Larry?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, they may or may not hurt Ring of Honor, but it won't help them. Because you nailed it. I mean, it's the larger entertainment world, the downward spiral in their ratings, that the fact that a personality like a Stone Cold or a Rock only comes along once in a blue moon, and they don't have one, and they, you know, that's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, if you are a Ring of Honor fan, you watch WWE. Point blank. You know, if you're a WWE fan, there's a really good chance you don't even know what Ring of Honor is. I think it's hard for people to see that. And I've always said NXT fans, those are wrestling people. Those are hardcore wrestling fans and people in wrestling. That's who I see post about NXT more than anybody. I don't see any casual wrestling fans that I know posting about NXT. It's the boys. It's the boys that get all twisted up about that stuff and excited. And again, when you listen to the most vocal and the loudest, instead of getting those casual, the WWE can't afford to cater to a demographic. They're trying to cast as wide a net as possible. And again, encouraging this thing where half the audience is booing Cena while they sit next to the 12-year-old who loves Cena, who they're trying to keep as a fan, it's going to come back to bite them. And I think maybe it already has. But it is time to reach the close of the show. We have a very special Is He High tonight. We have a favorite of Larry's and a favorite of mine. It's who Jagged Edge most often gets compared to, Rachel. He's the big cat Ernie Ladd. Do you want to set up this promo for us, Larry?
I wish I could, but I don't know much about it. I can't.
Uh-oh. Well, big cat Ernie Ladd about to cut a promo, and then we, the three of us, will determine, is he high?
It's time to play Is He High?
Talked about a fucking pound of weed and played a bunch of video games. Weed is tight. Weed is tight. That's awesome.
It's awesome. Weed is awesome.
He's not going to hurt me tonight. Tonight, Marietta, his hometown, I'm getting rid of him.
Well, indeed. Some interesting comments. And Mr. Ladd,
did you see how black and blue that egg-sucking dog was today? You see his head busted over to his back end, all beat up, bruised up. Looked like he had been in a hatchet fight and everybody had a hatchet but him. But I can assure you one thing. I know he's stooping very low. He's gone to the bottom of the barrel to get old Thunder Mob out of the barrel. Holler, a yik, 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 a yonk, 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 a yik, 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 a yonk, yonk, yonk. Ain't nobody gonna do this. And I ain't nobody gonna do this. Well, you gonna suck eggs like old eggs sucking dog, Thunder Mob? I guarantee you bring your carcass back to your Thunder Mob, somebody's gonna hurt you. You know what they say about your kind and my kind? We can't stand one another, Thunder Mouth. And Thunder Mouth, you get out of here before I get in here because you were scared of me. And you better get out of here again because I'll hurt you for the rest of your life. You'll be crippled in the head. Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. We don't want no secrets out. We don't want no secrets out because we have a little necktie party for that egg-sucking dog. And I feel sorry for you, Thunder Mouth, for being such a big fool. To be a part of something that's going to get you hurt.
Let me ask you a question.
Hey, you're not in this, don't we? Hey, look, we're not revealing nothing. You direct all your information to me and get that camera. Don't be trying to figure out who this gentleman is. All I know is a fine gentleman, and he gets the job done. He won't turn his back on you. He won't be like the egg-sucking dog later on. Hey, you camera people, don't be doing it. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do?
Well, I'd like to ask him a...
Just tell the man to keep the camera in one place and don't go crazy. Now, what question do you want to know?
Well, I wanted to ask him a question.
You want to ask me a question. What do you want to ask me?
No, I don't think I have any further questions for you, Mr. Ladd, or for this gentleman as far
as
that goes.
This gentleman take care of business. We take care of plenty of business. We take care of... We're going to get in the ring. And we're going to take care of some plenty of serious...
Thank you very much. And here's a special word of interest to all wrestling fans.
At 320 pounds, the big cat, Ernie Ladd, and his mystery partner.
God bless Gordon Solie. God bless Gordon Solie. It's like, I don't think I have any more questions. So is he, Larry, I have a dumb question. Is he referring to Thunderbolt Patterson there, where he keeps talking about the...
He certainly is. Thundermouth. Mm-hmm. Thundermouth. Yes.
Thundermouth. Thunderbolt Patterson, of course, honored at the second Sacred Grounds. Undeniable talent, unrivaled, really. And him and Ernie Ladd going at it on the mic must have been a thing to watch indeed. But Larry, the question we're here to answer is Ernie Ladd, the big cat. Right there. Is he high?
That's just Ernie Ladd being Ernie Ladd. I may have seen that match with Thunderbolt. I saw a lot of Ernie Ladd during those days in the Omni and some of the other arenas. And I can guarantee you one thing. The promos were always better than the matches. I mean, you know, I love Ernie Ladd, but at that stage of his career, he wasn't doing all that much in the ring, you know.
The epitome of talking guys in. I mean, the epitome of talking guys into the building. Miss Rachel, I'm going to assume that's your first contact with the big cat Ernie Ladd. Listening from your perspective, Ernie Ladd. Hi.
Well, I got two things here. I think, like, I understand that the timeline is messed up, but if he's compared to Jagged Edge, he's like the love child of Jagged Edge and Dusty Rhodes.
Oh.
He has to be. But I don't know. He's on something. I couldn't understand half of what he said. Maybe he was just a little tipsy slurring there.
I just call that Southern promo myself. So Rachel's not sure. Larry says no. I can't believe I'm agreeing with Larry on this. I miss people calling everybody an egg sucking dog. I don't know who started that. I always think of Terry Funk when I hear egg sucking dog. Now I'll always think of Ernie Ladd. I don't think he was high. I don't think Thunderbolt Patterson was high. I think Gordon Sully might have had to get high before all of these interviews. I think he might have had to sedate himself to get through them. If nothing else, he probably chain smoked like you wouldn't believe. Rest in peace, please, Gordon Sully. From me, Miss Rachel, and Larry Goodman, thank you for listening to Tipping Point. Next week, we're going to have a discussion about who are the leading candidates for the Georgia Wrestling Awards, in our opinion. And hopefully, we can maybe get Troy on here. We'll see if Larry's got that kind of stroke. And anyway, we will see you next week on The Tipping Point. Good night, guys.
And that's all, folks.
Are you sure he wasn't at least like a little bit drunk?
Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWA.
You know, it depends on when they did that taping, because often they did like promo stuff in the morning in the studio. So he might just have been like hungover from the night before, or oh, Georgia wrestling. Whew. They needed Chris Lash to run that one. Way to go.
Oh, no.
Wow. Good show again. Never boring. Never boring on the Tipping Point.
Especially.